Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Good morning, family. Great to be with you this morning. It's really a privilege, especially in this month, where we have one city, one church. I've told a lot of my friends in other cities about this, and they actually don't believe me when I tell them about this. And I can't be all the churches standing together, preaching and praying together. So it's really a privilege for me this morning to share this word. Like Philip said, I have the privilege of being part of Shofar. This is our 16th year. Me and my wife are part of the church, and the 11th year in this congregation. And I really want to honor our leadership, Philip, for giving a normal person like myself the ability to preach. It says a lot about him more than it says about me. So thank you, Philip, and the rest of the leadership. So we're going to spend some time on our purpose and how we glorify God. So it's going to be a short word. I want to ask that you partake and you really focus. It's not going to be long. The scriptures aren't going to be highly complex. So please focus. Trust God for impartation to your heart. On your seat, you would see this little millipede. What's in English? Kernel. Not like that. Okay, millipede. So if you're too comfortable in your seat, this thing is going to pop under your bum, and then I will know that you need to stand up, and I'll ask you to continue. So just hang on to this. This is part of the symbol for this morning's our time together. So I think all of us have the desire to live extraordinary lives, yes. If you don't want to ask God to place a desire in your heart to live an extraordinary life, to live a life of purpose, full of purpose. I think one of the biggest tragedies in life is a life without purpose. Dr. Miles Monroe said that the biggest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without purpose. Amen. This morning we will make sure that we are not part of the group of civilization that does not know why they are on this earth. Currently around 7.4 billion people on this earth, and I wonder how many people actually know why they're alive. And there where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Yes? We see it. That's why abuse of substances will increase. Because people are struggling with this concept of, why am I alive? And they go and look for it in a lot of strange places where they will not find their purpose. So, our kingdom is one of beautiful contrasts. Yes, you've seen it. That there's a lot of stuff that we apply, principles we apply in our kingdom and in our spiritual life is exactly the opposite to how the world does it. So it's these beautiful contradictions. And this morning, we will spend time on one of them. So let's pray together before we continue. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're already here, that you're working in our hearts. This morning we open our lives to you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you convey to us the heart of Jesus, the heart of Jesus towards his Father. So Lord, we thank you for your word and we honor your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's read together. I must tell you that this scripture, I've read it many times, and in preparation for the sermon, that just opened up to a greater depth to me again. I want to ask, even though if you know it, open your heart. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of impartation that flows from Jesus' word in John 12. Sorry, before I read it, just some background. So it's 6 days before Passover. Jesus is with Martha in Bethany, and Lazarus is with him. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, I like reading the Bible and actually picturing it. Having dinner, Lazarus is with me, just raising from the dead. Outside, the Jews are wanting to see these two people together. because some of them said, no, it can't be, it's not true. They want to peek through and see it. The next day, Jesus enters Jerusalem, right? So we know the newspapers were there. Jesus entered on his Porsche donkey. They threw down the leaves. Everyone was so happy. The King of Israel has finally arrived. So everyone is ecstatic. Here he comes. And the Greeks are fighting. They want to see and talk to Jesus. And the disciples are fighting about who's going to have their position with him. And then, verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. 5 days later, Jesus died. Okay? So the question this morning is, what is glory? How do we live a life of purpose? Remember I said a kingdom of contrasts? There's a lot of motivational speakers out there that will tell you how to live a life with purpose, etc. But our kingdom is one of opposites. So I just want to highlight three aspects in the scripture before we look at the next section. It's the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Yes? The hour has come in our lives that we must glorify Jesus. Secondly, if we do not die, we remain alone. But if we die, we will produce much fruit. So let's continue. Verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to you. Jesus answered and said, no, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Okay, so who of you know that God the Father only spoke 3 times audibly? That's captured in the Word. It's at the Mount of Configuration. Transfiguration. I wanted to say this on it. Transfiguration, Jesus' baptism, and here. Okay, so it's 5 days before his crucifixion. He's talking about purpose, glorifying the Father, and suddenly God the Father pushes through the clouds and say, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So it's this extremely powerful dialogue between a father and his son. Son saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified. Next part he said, but for this purpose I came to this hour, Father, glorify your name. And then God the Father speaks. So all I'm trying to say here is that this is obviously a very powerful piece of scripture. This is really significant. So when we talk about purpose and existentialism and why are we on earth, then this is my go-to scripture. This voice didn't come for Jesus' sake, but for your sake. Okay, so in other words, we are dying to live. Okay, we're not living to merely die. We are, everyone in this room is alive this morning to die. Beautiful contrast. If Jesus lived to die for his Father and for us and to glorify his name, I'm sure that's the example he has set for us. Okay, so it's a kingdom of contrast, and that's how we will bring glory to his name. And someone, I forgot now. My little apple. Just hang on, please. 2 seconds. I'm back. Okay, so, apologies. The next slide, please. So, if I show you this apple, what do you see? An apple, yes. And if I do this, what do you see? And inside? Apple seeds, What do you see in the apple seed? It's a problem these days. These apples don't have seeds anymore. There's two seeds in here. So what do you see in the seed? I heard a tree. What else do you see? Well, the potential is in the seed for a whole apple plantation, right? In this one seed is the potential for a whole apple plantation. So when we look at our fruit, we shouldn't just see fruit. In the fruit we bear, in that fruit there is seed, and in that seed there is more seed, and in the more seed there's more fruit. So when we talk about a seed falling to the ground, unless it falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it will produce much fruit. So look at the seed on your chair. Look at this apple, and that's what we are talking about in the figurative speech this morning. So our ultimate purpose is not to bear fruit. It's to produce fruit with reproducing seed. So Galatians 3 verse 29 reads, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise." So Abram's seed, a grain of wheat, fell to the ground, gave his life up, died. He was not alone. He bore fruit, and in the fruit there was more seed. And here we are, part of Abram's offspring. Here we are today, part of Jesus' offspring. Not genetically, but in the spirit. So when we say, let's live a life of purpose, we must certainly want to live a life that extends beyond that has a greater impact than just our short existence. We want to leave a legacy that surpasses the number of years that we live on this earth. So we get this, we have the ability to produce generations and generations of godly legacy if we fall to the ground and die, like Jesus did and like John 12 says. So how do we reproduce that seed? It's through relationships, through discipleship. That's how we impart, our legacy to continue beyond just our lives. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body of the plant that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. So as we die, our seed springs forth. And in our fruit, there is more seed. So this morning, I want to say that we do not have other godly choice other than to die. If we want to reproduce, if we want fruit. And then also a tree produces according to its kind. A bad fruit cannot reproduce good seed. And bad seed cannot reproduce good fruit. So that's Genesis 1 verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. Let us bear good fruit that we produce a good seed. So this morning, how do we die unto self? I'm not going to make it too complex, just three basic principles, and then I'll share some scriptures. Is laying down of our own plans, laying down our own agendas. Number two, being humble. I call it the secret power of humility. Because humility carries a power, but our world does not value humility at all anymore. I'm actually shocked these days how little people value humility. I remember a time when people said, "Oh, that guy's so humble. I really look up to him." The other day I told my wife, I cannot recall when last I heard someone saying that. Which is sad, but let us be that generation. Let us in this church talk highly about people that are humble. Create that culture. It is also a cultural thing. Promoting humility, and then serving others' visions. So just one small example. I just started working and had a lot of plans and dreams. And in that first year, Madeleine and I was approached to plant a church, and the message came, "Listen, guys, think about it. Is it Thursday or the Friday? We'll chat again on Sunday." So initially I was excited. Yes, I'm going to plant a church. And then I realized if I do that, all my dreams I had for my occupation, I need to completely lay down. I wouldn't be able to combo them. And then it struck me the Friday evening, like, God, how is it possible that you give me these dreams and I need to give it all up again? God said, are you willing to lay down your own plans for my sake? And that Saturday was excellent. I really, all these dreams that I had through varsity and even high school, I'm going to have to lay down. And we did. We prayed and cried and we laid down our plans. And then on Sunday, the next day, I said, no, it's good. We prayed again and feel that it's not the time now. So God gave it back. I want you to grasp the message, and that is, or the principle here, and that is that if you're willing to lay down, God will give you back. To me, that was such a sobering experience that it's not my little vocation, my little occupation, the plans I have for the future. God actually took it away, and I parted with it. So on that Sunday, he said, go for it. This is what you need to do. So it was just a reestablishment, but I first had to be willing to lay down my own life. And it was such a godly experience for me, and I realized that there's a lot that I've made my own. It's not God's. And even this week, I think on Wednesday, I was really just upset. I told my wife, I'm upset with you, man. I'm like, everyone's just pushing their own agendas. It's making me tired. Everywhere, friends, colleagues, Tala, can't we, isn't there the place where you just have a combined vision? There's also, once again, a good place for me to be at, where I realize that the world is driven by personal agendas, right? The secular world. But for us, we serve with God. We don't drive our own agendas. We drive His agenda. And that's why it's so blessed to be part of this community where people share a communal agenda. Even in this church, where up in the city, where churches combine together for one purpose. So, if you want to have a big life, you need to die. And read this. These scriptures are so powerful. The further I continue with life, the more I realize the value of this Matthew 23. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. An extremely basic principle that when you start seeing it in real life, saved people and unsaved, exalting themselves and how life and the world can just humble you if you don't humble yourself first. You get a child, or you get a child that you didn't plan for, or your occupation takes a wrong turn and you were on your own pedestal. Life can humble you in a few seconds. That's why I say it's a secret power of humility. But listen to the message. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count again. It really resonates with my heart, because I've seen it in my own life. And sometimes when I'm getting on a vibe and I'm, you know, progressing well, and the Holy Spirit just whispers this into my ear. You want to stand out? Then step down, or else you get the wind knocked out of you. And it's sometimes it's the way of life. Sometimes it's God, or it's, like I said, just nature taking its course. But if you're humble, it will not be the case in your life. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he humbled himself, will be exalted. Also Luke 14. And when I prepared this, I was reminded of a scripture we assessed this year in Bible school too, and servant leadership, which is Mark 10 verse 42, and we had nice discussions about this. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Philip had a sermon about this 1 or 2 years ago, a concept of being a bond servant. So if you want to be great, be a servant, right? At least be a servant if you want to be great. I want to be great. I hope all of you want to be great. However, if you want to be first, be a bond servant. Doulos was the the word used, bondservant, meaning that it's a complete, utter giving over of your life for Christ's purposes. The word said, Mark 10, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. So there's a price to pay for freedom of this. Kudos. John 15. So we're just discussing how does a grain of wheat die? Serving. John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Being a servant. Becoming great. Whoever desires to be great, be a servant. If you want to be first, be a bondservant. For me to live, Philippians 1, is Christ, his life in me. And to die is gain, the gain of the glory of eternity. So, like I said, we die to live. We don't live, merely die. That's just sad. Live a short life, die, and then it's all over. We live to die. So, eternity starts in this life. Not reserved for one day. If you're here this morning, let me share this powerful truth. If you're here this morning, giving your life to Christ and you're serving Him, your eternity has already started. Amen? That is mind-boggling. It really is. As I'm talking to you, I'm talking to people who are already partaking in eternity. So it's a privilege for me to talk to you this morning. It really, really is. So the question is, are we willing to die so that we may live? And if we are willing to die, then our seed falls to the ground, it bears fruit, others get the opportunity to eat of that fruit. And so it's just this glorious cycle of people joining the kingdom, laying down their lives. That's exactly what Abram did. We are part of a legacy of few men and women who are willing to lay down their lives. Now we have the truth of God in our hands, we can read it. It's people who literally gave their lives to the kingdom. We partake in that truth. I just want to show you this picture. As I prepared, I was reminded of this. In the Boerland, where I'm originally from, you get these felt fires every 5-7 years, and then after the fires, you get flowers that you don't see otherwise. Ephemeral felt fire flowers. So it means that it's only there when there is fire or after the fire. So you get these beautiful flowers that only come up once the seed is actually burnt. And that's exactly what we talked about this morning. Is about seed being burned, seed dying, and new life being born. John 12, I just want to read it again. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Having a purposeful life. Acts 13, verse 36. This scripture is so beautiful because it ties into our church's purpose statement. To serve nations and generations. Right? So David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. Imagine falling asleep after you've served your purpose. And that says so much. Jesus also, at 33 years of age, he had served his purpose and he left us. So David, after he had served his purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep. I think there's a lot of moms with small babies that would like to fall asleep and go to heaven. Sleep. Go ahead to sleep, but it must be for doctors. Today. So, serving God's purpose. As I said, it's going to be short, so I want you to stand with me. And I want to read the next scripture. So if you don't mind, let's stand. So if you want a purpose statement for your life, this is a really good one to have. If you don't have one or you're struggling to figure out your purpose this morning. Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So guys, this morning I want you just to close your eyes and trust the Holy Spirit for impartation to every heart here. This morning, if you feel that there's three groups that I want to minister to. The first one is people that feel discontent with life. I've been there where I feel like I'm living a mundane life. I'm not sure where I'm going to. I'm going to pray with you this morning that you get your purpose, that God imparts that to you. Second one is people that are on the verge of dying in, of jumping in, just dying to themselves, but you're indecisive. So you're serving God, but you feel that you want to hang on to your own life. So you're with one foot in the world and one in the kingdom. And then thirdly, anyone that needs encouragement, that have given over, but they feel like backing up and just, you know, dropping it all. Then this morning we want to trust the Holy Spirit to encourage you and fuel your fire again. So just keep your eyes closed and then we'll just ask the Holy Spirit for impartation that we can really die unto ourselves this morning, Holy Spirit. We'll ask you to guide us, show us where there's places that we need to die further, Lord, because we do want to live lives that are extraordinary, God. We want to give it all up as Jesus did, as Abraham did, as David did. We want to give it all up so that we can live extraordinary lives for your sake, God. And this morning, you don't need to try to die. You just give up. You give in, let go, and let God. Okay? Just let your seed fall to the ground and let go. When I prepared, I saw a vision of us as seeds falling into God's hands. And then a few seconds later, flowers and trees started growing out of His hand. So this morning, you're a little seed. You can try on your own, but I will promise you, you are going to remain alone. But fall to the ground and die, and in His hand, you will spring up like a flower, like you saw in that picture, like a tree, a fruit tree. In that fruit, there's more seed, and your legacy will surpass your life. So God, this morning, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you set us the ultimate example. Jesus, this morning, we say that thank you that you died. We are so thankful to you, Jesus, that you did not keep your own life, try to live it out, be smart with a lot of words, a lot of sermons. No, Jesus, you gave up your life willingly so that Father may be glorified. And this morning, we want to follow you, Jesus. We want to serve you. We want to follow your example. So if there's anyone that wants to join for ministry, one of those groups where you feel discontent, or you feel you need encouragement, then please come to the front. The sermon hasn't been that long, so I want to encourage you to also worship at least one or two songs with us, so that the band can join, please. Then just worship, and in worship, lay down your life. So you don't necessarily need to come to the front to pray with us. You're welcome to. However, I want to encourage everyone here to at least stay for one song of worship, and you engage with Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.